talked about budgeting. Let's talk about some more about money tonight. Luke chapter 16, it tells us how important money is. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 11. Verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Okay, I know it's going to be hard to pay attention while you're looking at all this action here. But notice the statement. It didn't say maybe, it didn't say hope so, it didn't say might be. It said positively a statement. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful in that which is much. And of course, here it's talking about money. And this is something that really is very important. You know, it's important for children. I remember one time we were talking about money in my Bible class, and I said to my Bible class, I said, as you mingle out in general Christian circles, how many teenagers do you think tithe? What do you think the answer was? Do you think it was 90%? Think it was 60%? Think it was 40%? Do you think it was less than 10%? How many think it was less than 10%? That's the future of America. That's the Christian future of America. And you know what? It's God's statement, not mine. It's God's statement. If people cannot, even young people, show their heart by what they do with their money. And you can say a lot of things. You know, adults, you know, they make the mistake. They think that young people tell about their Christianity by what kind of program they can put on. What kind of program they can put on. Don't go oohing and aahing over a program. That can be very, very far from reality. What a person does with their money is very close to reality. Okay? Let's talk about some Bible principles about money here tonight. First of all, obviously there's many different things we can talk about. But first of all, let's talk about faith. Malachi. Let's look there quickly. Malachi. And of course, this is Malachi chapter 3, the principle of the tithes. And of course, we see the heart problem in verse 9. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. That's a heart problem. It says, verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And notice here, the tithe has to do with a person's love for the work of God. Has to do for a person's love of the work of God. If you love Christ, you love His work. Okay? And notice it says, bring your tithes and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven. Prove me. All right? Here is a test. Here is a test. And money is a test of someone's faith. It's giving something away that you have tangible. It's giving away something tangible for something that is invisible. And by the way, what is the blessing? Well, there's two blessings. Number one, the blessing is God will make the 90% go further than the 100%. Because if you steal God's 10%, typically in the Old Testament, to steal, you'd have to pay back fourfold. So that's not very good economics. You steal God 10% and you have to pay 40% back. And, you know, that's a very real thing for a lot of people, is that if you would look at their debt load for people who don't tithe, many times the interest on their debt load is more than their tithe would be. Now, there can be other reasons for that, but sometimes that fits that pattern. But notice it says, prove me. Here's a matter of faith. Okay, what is God going to do? God is going to take care of His people. And that's the big question. Do you have faith? Do you have faith in God? What is your relationship to God? Do you have real faith? Obviously, there's other principles. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to try to put these simply. Second Corinthians. And, of course, chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We find another important principle about giving. It's purposeful. It's purposeful. It is a purposeful, planned giving. All right? Why do you say purposeful? Well, because a person needs to purpose in their heart what is going to be important in their life. You have to purpose in your heart what is going to be important. And if God's work is going to be important, then you're going to purpose to do something about it. Okay? What is the extreme opposite of purposeful? Well, the extreme opposite is the person who they take their whatever they have for income, they buy this, they buy that, they pay this, they pay that, they do this, they do that, they do all these things, and when it's all over, if they have anything left, well, then that's what I can give to God. That's not purposeful. That isn't determining with purpose the direction of your life. And, you know, a lot of people have all these things in their life they figure they really have to have. And if you don't live purposefully, well, there's not going to be much left over for God. That will never happen. It will never happen. We talked last week about a budget. A budget is purposeful giving. Okay? And if you look at your budget, you can probably tell the priority of God in your budget. And a lot of people can find in their budget that maybe there's a lot of items that are a lot bigger than they're giving to the Lord. So it's purposeful. Now, how would you gauge that? Well, let me ask you a question. This is a simple question, okay? I think anybody can answer this. Gabe, now I have you ask a question, okay? Okay. So, let's just say that a person gets saved, okay, and now they start with, you know, the minimum. They start tithing, okay? Do you think in 20 years that their faith has grown much, their purpose has grown much, if they're still only giving just 10%? Their faith wouldn't have grown much, would it? How do you make your faith grow? By giving more. How do you give more? By seeing how much is left over. Okay? By purposing ahead of time what you decide is valuable in your life. It's always purposeful. You know, maybe I should say this. We do have some senior citizens here. You know, I remember Grant Rice one time. He said that there's a fellow in New Lisbon who invented, this business where, you know, it's all over the place. You know, you have ice box, you know, you have coolers, freezers, and they sell ice. Well, he started that kind of business, selling ice, his name was Bill Rothy. And, you know, he told Grant Rice, he says, you know, I want you to come hunting with me up to the Arctic. And, you know, Grant Rice, he had no real desire to go, but this fellow insisted that he go. And so they got up there to this hunting cabin or whatever. He says, now I tell you what why I wanted you to come. He says, because I want to know what I need to, what I should do with my money. I'm going to die sometime near future. I'm going to die. I want to know what I should do with my money. And Grant Rice said this. He said, He says, do something with it now. Don't wait till you die. Don't assume that your heirs are going to have even close to the same love that you have for God. And oh, how right he was. Oh, how right he was. You know what people do with free money? Most people. And so Bill Rothy, he set up a fund for Camp Chetek. He set up a fund for his home church. He set up a fund for loaning money to brand new churches that couldn't get a loan. And we borrowed money, our first $25,000 for our building. We borrowed $10,000 for our land and $15,000 from our building for that organization, because they know that new churches can't borrow money from anybody, banks especially. And so when he died, his widow, of course, got money, but his home church was able to build a new building. And Camp Chetek was able to build a new building. And WIBM was established. And in fact, years later, Camp Joy got about $17,000 from them. But if he would have waited, who knows what would have happened to his money. In fact, his wife, her faith wasn't as strong as his. And though that money would have never gone to the right case. In fact, there was a man in California died. He had a huge amount of money, and the vice president of Trinity Baptist College, Jacksonville, Florida, Dr. Davis, he was appointed one of the trustees of this fund. Millions of dollars, and it was all supposed to go to, you know, fundamental works. And Well, guess what? Dr. Davis quit his job at Vice President of Trinity Baptist College, and was going to move to California to take care of all this money that this man left when he died. And by the time it all worked out, a bunch of big new evangelicals got in there and got all the money. And no fundamentalists got any of it. Dobson and those big outfits, they got all the money. No fundamentalists. You know what? You don't wait till you die to take care of your money. It doesn't work that way. If you want to do something with your money, do it before you die. But why? Purposeful. Purposeful. The Bible says we have to be purposeful in our giving. Okay? Obviously, this passage of Scripture tells us also it shows it's supposed to be proportionate. Okay? And the tithe is a proportion. And as the Lord hath prospered you, in proportion to how the Lord has prospered you. That's percentage. That's a proportion. Okay? You know, if you got... if you don't go proportionate, let's just say you got a $1,000 raise, and so now you say, well, I'm going to give $10 more a week. Well, that's not much of a portion, is it? That isn't much of a portion. You gave more, but you really gave less, right? Because you didn't figure the God's plan is proportionate. Okay? That's a principle. So we talked about faith. We talked about values. What is valuable? We've talked about purpose. We've talked about proportion. We've talked about something that we looked at a little bit. We talked a little bit about return. Notice it says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Now, it is speaking about money. It is speaking about money. But, let me ask you a question. What's something more important than the money? The spiritual blessing. The spiritual blessing. Now, I've said this at different times, but let me ask a question. Okay? Okay, since you're answering all the questions tonight. Okay, Gabe? Okay? If you if you were married and you had children and you didn't tithe, what could you expect from your children? That they wouldn't tithe either. What else could you expect? They wouldn't have a very good close walk with God. In fact, the Bible says, what do you think would happen to somebody if they came down the road and pulled a gun and stole money from you? They might end up in jail. They might end up in jail, right? Right? Is that very good? So do you think that there's a very good spiritual equivalent? Do you think there's a blessing? No. The problem is there's a curse. There's a spiritual curse. How could that dad expect his children to get saved? How could he expect that, those children to make decisions for God? How could that dad expect those kids to surrender to full-time service? How could that dad expect those children to want to be soul winners? I mean, God can do anything, but the normal path would be no. No. You know, we think that the most important blessing about tithing is that God will take care of us, but the most important part of the blessing is we can't afford not to have God's spiritual blessing. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, young person, let's put some things in perspective for you. Okay? Do you participate in, do you tithe? Have you been taught to tithe? We assume that every parent does that. But I know I've talked to Mrs. Bird, and she's been in Christian school teaching, and people that you would expect would tithe don't necessarily teach their children how to tithe. A child at the earliest age should learn how to tithe. A child at the earliest of age should start giving to missions above their tithe. A child at the earliest age should plan. Really, you ought to plan, and you know, you just multiply this for an adult. You ought to plan to bring something to put in the offering. Now let me ask you a question. Why do I say that? Do you have money to go to Culver's? Do you have money to go to Culver's? Do you have money to go to McDonald's? Well, maybe you don't. But it seems like young people come up with money. You know what? It would be a shame that you could pass the offering plate by and not put anything in it. And you could go to Culver's, or you could go to McDonald's, or you could go to Dairy Queen, and you could have money to spend on something. Why would you have money to spend on it? Because you planned it. You know, really, in our mentality, you know, we ought to plan on giving. We ought to plan on giving. And I know I've gotten out of the habit, but I used to always have at least, you know, some coins or a dollar bill in my pocket, because I used to be a little bit better, but so that anytime the offering plate would go by, I would have something to put in it. But it should be planned giving. There's a lot of good things that we could say about giving. You won't give unless you really have a budget. You won't give unless you save. You won't give if you are a loose spender. You won't give like you could. You won't give if you don't discipline. And if you buy things on credit, when you pay $20,000 for a $10,000 car, you're not going to have much to give. You're just not going to have much to give, unless you got so much that that doesn't matter. But for most people, you aren't going to give. If you get married and you go out and buy new furniture, you won't have much to give. If you get married and you're just like the normal person, don't have a lot, but you have to go buy a new car, I guarantee you'll be hindered. Most people will be hindered in what they can give. Because you know what?
there's only so much money. There's only so much. And we have to plan. And it is, sometimes it's interesting to be a pastor and watch. It's sometimes sad. But giving really tells where a person is going. You know, sometimes I look at, you know, you gotta think in your head. Think, man, you know, the missions giving isn't growing as fast as we would like it to grow. But you know, missions giving is still pretty close, if not more, than it was when we had twice as many people on Wednesday night. And you have to say, what does that tell you? What does that say? I also noticed that when people are about to make bad decisions spiritually, there's something that always changes before that happens. You know what it is? Their giving changes. Before people make bad spiritual decisions, they already, before that, you can map it out, they've made bad decisions about their giving. They stop giving to missions. They stop giving to whatever. They stop. They start, tithing to VCY or you name it. And what follows that? A spiritual. And it's almost always preceded by spiritual financial decisions. You know how you change that? You never let yourself go backwards financially. You never let yourself go backwards financially. Never let yourself make an excuse to start giving less to missions. Never make an excuse why you have to lower your tithe. Never allow it to happen in your life, because if you do, it will be a precursor to something far worse. And if you're in that point spiritually, you say, wait a minute, I have to stop. And something's wrong on the inside. And get that right with God. And so if you're tempted to give less to missions, and of course I'm not talking about decreasing your tithe, rob from the church to pay missions, but if you're tempted to do that, do the opposite. Do the opposite. Give more. That's how you fight the devil. And you fight the wrong direction. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for these important truths. And Lord, I pray that we would recognize what money tells us about our soul and what money tells us about how much self is in control versus the Spirit of God. How much, Lord, we really have eternity in mind versus how much, Lord, we value things that will never last and really bring no real satisfaction. I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to see how our giving is really a roadmap to our future, something that needs to be guarded, something that needs to be inspected. And, Lord, I pray that you would so work in our hearts and our lives to recognize, Lord, what you would want. and how we can stay close to you and how we can trust you and see that you're a miracle-working God when we want you to be first in our life and how you can supply. We thank you, Lord, for your people, and thank you, Lord, for those who have that faith that when there is a lack that they rise to the occasion. And Lord, we pray that your blessing would be upon your people as they seek to put you first. And while our heads are bowed and eyes closed, maybe even as we've talked about this tonight, the Lord has spoken to you specifically. Obviously, this message wasn't for increase of giving to the church, but it is for the purpose of doing God's will and staying close to the Lord and doing right. Perhaps God is speaking to your heart about your own life and what maybe something you need to reverse, maybe something you need to get right with the Lord, maybe a purposing that you need to establish in your life, whether you're a young person, adult, whoever you might be, and say, you know, good intentions don't go very far. We have to be people of decision and say, God spoke to me in some area about my giving tonight, and I'm not going to let it pass. I'm going to do it. And by God's grace, just lift up your hand tonight and say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, whatever he spoke to me about. Okay? Number of different hands. Praise the Lord. Okay? Others? Okay? Amen. Others? All right. Father, you see the hands. I pray your blessing. And you're leading and you're working in these lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.